Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we're so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home, and we want to wish you all a blessed Holy Week. Here we are. It's Wednesday during Holy Week as we all get ready to participate in Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And I do want to encourage you all to keep it on EWTN, because EWTN, if you're homebound and you can't get to your local church, EWTN is going to bring you live coverage from Rome, also from Washington, and then also the masses right here at the EWTN studio. So you will have and experience your spiritual pilgrimage here with EWTN. Well, today we are thrilled to be welcoming Father Patrick Mary to our show. Now, Father Patrick was born in Cocoa Beach, Florida. He's the oldest of eight children. He grew up in a military family and was a college student before entering the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word in 2002. He's been here a long time. After studying at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, he was ordained to the priesthood in 2012, and he later earned a licentiate in sacred theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And today, he currently serves as community vicar, vocation director, and the director of priestly formation for the Franciscan Missionaries.
Other than that, he's not doing much.
He's a busy man. And so he's going to be here today, and we have the honor and the privilege of having him. And he's going to speak with us about Holy Week. And we also want you to know that if you want to learn more about the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, maybe you're a young man out there and you're wondering, do you have a call to the priesthood? Is God calling you? Go out to their website, FranciscanMissionaries.com.
Well, that was a mouthful.
That was a
mouthful. And you were saying to me that, you know, you remember when he was going ordained.
In the, you know, because EWTN always did live coverage, and I remember his parents, his family there. It was so, so sweet. But then Father also, he has a sister who is in religious life up in Hansville.
Yeah.
So, two out of eight children, the parents have given over to the church. What a gift, what a blessing. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to have him. And you're going to have him up close and personal to learn more about beautiful Father
Patrick.
It's a
great blessing to be with you at this holy time, the week that changed the world and moving into the Triduum so very, very soon. It's going to be very special at home with Jim and Joy, Father here with us. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Father Patrick Mary. He is a friar of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. And to learn more about the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, go out to their website, FranciscanMissionaries.com. We're going to have a great show today. You don't want to miss this. Well, Father, we are so excited to have you. And for people that don't know, you just tell them a little bit about yourself, and then you're going to tell us everything that you know about Holy Week.
Sure. And that was a great intro you gave to at the beginning. You know, I am the oldest, as you mentioned, of eight children, six boys and two girls. And about a year and a half ago, my youngest sister entered the Poor Clares in Hansville. So she's a novice now. It brought great joy to our family. But growing up, you know, we grew up in a Catholic family, and it was in college. So I grew up in a military family, moved all over. In college, in fifth grade, we moved back to Florida, where I was born. And then went through high school and went to the University of Miami. And then it was during my freshman year that my family, we decided to go to Hansville. The shrine was brand new. It was the year 2000. So I think the nuns moved in 99. And it was at that Mass that I just felt a strong, clear, like a peaceful pull toward the priesthood. I didn't hear a voice or anything, but just as an interior draw to the priesthood. And that really started my discernment. And it was the reverence at the Mass, you know, just it was really transcendent and just lifted the mind and the heart. And I had never experienced a Mass like that before. Mm-hmm. And priesthood was nowhere on my mind going into that. Again, thanks be to God, I went to Mass growing up, but my faith, I didn't take it very seriously. But that was a changing point in my life. And then we stopped by here at EWTN on our way back down to Florida. And I ended up talking to Father Anthony, who was the vocation director at the time. And he gave me a biography of St. Francis. And he really put me at ease, too. He said, you know, don't rush. Just, you know, keep in touch and finish your first year of college and maybe read about St. Francis. And he gave me the total consecration to Our Lady. He said, you know, we'll just see how things go. And then I made that consecration my spring semester. And that's when I was ready, wherever the Lord was calling me. I just wanted to follow His will. I visited the community that summer, 2001, and I loved it, loved everything about it. And I would enter a year later. So it's been, she mentioned it's 2002, so it's like 23 years this year. But
what a gentle, beautiful calling. I think I've heard one that was good, because some people's really uprooting, it's this, it's that, it's do I do this? But his was just like this gentle kind of wooing in, like it's all gonna be good.
Yes, and that's a great word you use too, a gentle, because it was a peaceful, gentle, and that's what I didn't mention too, is at that time, I played a lot of sports growing up, but like halfway through high school, I dropped football, I dropped sports, and I just dove headfirst into music. And I got into like, even to heavy metal, and that just became like my life. And so I was into a very extreme form of music, and when I just experienced just that the beauty of the Mass, it was like polar opposites. It just it led to a great peace, and that the Lord speaks through that, through the quiet, through the peace. And that's what really started driving me in that toward discerning the priesthood and religious life.
Well, I love that. Did your parents have any idea that that was happening? Did they see that in your life beforehand?
At that point, I know growing up, my mom had asked me, maybe it was like 9 or 10 years old when we lived in Germany, you know, and I don't recall ever saying yes or no at that point. But then when middle school, high school came around, that just went, there was no thought of priesthood whatsoever. But I did tell, because there was, like I had the sense, like I have to share this. So after that midnight Mass, I did tell my mom out in the piazza, I think I'm called to the priesthood. And it's due to her, when we came here to EWTN, she's the one who asked me, she said, do you want to talk to a priest? Because if I didn't tell her, who knows if I would have ever,
when you I would have, held you know, that secret
exactly.
in your heart.
Exactly.
But you know, Father, that's the beautiful part about sometimes going on a pilgrimage, right? And you went to a very sacred space,
that's
and
right.
you know that Mother had prayed that many people, men especially, would be drawn here and be called like you. So thank you. Thank you for saying yes.
Thanks be to God.
You are a gift to the church and to the network.
Praise God. Thank you. And that's a great just image, too, like you said, the pilgrimage, that so many graces are available here and at the shrine. And that really is what we do during Holy Week. You know, we're reminded of that, like, this is a pilgrimage that we're on throughout this whole life. And it just comes into clear focus, particularly during this intense time of Holy Week, you know. So I know we were going to talk about maybe just like jumping right into just some, like, I guess, reflections and that of like, you know, of Holy Week. As we are right in the midst of it. And I know we already celebrated, you know, Palm Sunday, but just some thoughts about that as well as...
Why don't you start there?
Yeah, you know, like Palm Sunday itself, it really has like, you do see like a great joy and a great intense suffering as well. You know, it does start off with the intensity of the praising the Lord. And yet to know what, there's a, you know, the author, the Australian-born author, Frank Sheed, had mentioned this, like what was going on in our Lord's mind when the people were praising him. Like he knew, he knew that just a couple of days, those praises are gonna turn to blasphemies and curses. So, and that's a lesson for us too, is that, you know, when we're praised, we know that, you know, every good thing comes from the Lord, but to not let anything get to our heads, you know, that we just kind of keep an even keel. Like if something good's, praise God, but we don't let that get caught up. And to know the Lord, he knew what was going on. And we know that's what's interesting too. It struck me. I know in the earlier, you know, you're sharing that, you know, we want to hear the gospel with fresh ears, right? And fresh eyes and that. One of the things that struck me too is that, and throughout the gospel, when like the Lord, you know, perform miracles. Like, people wanted to make him king right on the spot, you know. And oftentimes he said no, or he's like slipped away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But during Holy Week, during Palm Sunday, he accepted it, you know, because his hour was coming, you know, because we often hear because his hour is not yet, but now his hour was coming and he is king. And so that was one thing that struck me, is the Lord accepts that, knowing this is going to lead to his suffering and to his death. And then also just the whole thing with the palm, we call it Palm Sunday, the mm-hmm. thing with the palms. I was also struck when hearing, like, in the book of Maccabees, after a great victory, there's palms, like when they had like a procession, there were palms there, mm-hmm. and they were celebrating that their enemies had been crushed and then delivered out. And so the Jews come into Jerusalem with palms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like a symbolism of victory and liberation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, our Lord came to be victorious over sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, we see that victory in Palm Sunday, that aspect of it, which I think is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But things get flipped around, because I'm always wondering about the people that were in that context, that were really there. And we look at it post-Easter, mm-hmm. you know, the resurrection and so on. But I mean, so much of that hope for victory and so on, a lot of it revolved around, I think, that there would be a militancy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he was militant, but in a spiritual way. And a lot of people, like Peter, he didn't exactly want that. He cut the ear off of the guy that was trying to get him, and Jesus heals the ear and says, no, we're not doing that. That's confusing, because Peter's like, I'm your assistant. They're going to kill you. I'm not going to let that happen. And these people were praising and so on, but what were they thinking, you know? And then he flips it around, and then his throne is the cross.
That's right. Yes, yes. He truly is victor, but yeah, like you said, from the cross. And the same thing too with that, you have that he is victorious. He is Christ the King, who's all powerful. And yet there's also that aspect of humility that he comes in riding on a donkey,
mm-hmm.
Not a big war horse.
Right.
You know, it's like, and in the reading, the second reading for Sunday too, is from Philippians, that the Lord humbled himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a call to us. And I love that quote that you mentioned earlier, you know, from Angela Merici, right? That mm-hmm. God provides the grace to follow, to grow in virtue, to follow
mm-hmm.
him. And that he teaches us so many virtues throughout this Holy Week through his suffering. And one of them is humility,
mm-hmm.
that we see from Palm Sunday all the way through his passion, that he's Almighty God and he didn't have to endure all this,
mm-hmm.
but he wanted to out of love for us. And it's a great example for us to grow in true humility.
Mm-hmm. And in the beautiful liturgy, especially of Palm Sunday, and then we'll read it again on Good Friday mm-hmm. and Holy Thursday. You know, as we participate in the readings as the crowd, you know, and even all beforehand, you know, the readings before mm-hmm. Holy Week, you know, you're just thinking, am I a Pharisee?
Mm.
Would I have been a Sadducee? I mean, because it's one thing to say, oh, I love Jesus, I'll do anything for
That's
Jesus.
Right.
But in that context, who would we have been?
That's right.
You know what I mean? Would I have really believed,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I wasn't Mary Magdalene, or if I wasn't one of the disciples, and, you know, how would I really loved and believed, and what was my faith be like?
That's right.
So you really can see, and it's scary,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm thinking, you know, I think I'm a Pharisee. I think I would have been like, who are you saying? You ain't that. You
That's
know?
Right.
Like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
You blaspheme. Mm-hmm. You can't, you're not God. And all the things that he said, and then the things that he did.
That's right. And it's so easy for us too, just to like, to put the blame. It's like how hardened were their hearts? And
mm-hmm.
I would never do that. But really, I love, you may recall Father Angelus, who was our superior from
mm-hmm.
like 2001 and 2007. And one of the things, and he was our novice master, and he had said, you know, something that can be helpful sometimes is to put your name in where you see the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and like that can be a great examination
mm-hmm.
of conscience. Like, yeah, that could have easily been me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Jim and I were talking earlier about, you know, just with regard to like, and just like you said, Joy, too, that how would I have responded
mm-hmm.
if it just seemed like, okay, here's this man who's making some pretty bold claims and he's doing some powerful things, but do I really believe that's God?
Right.
And then trusting at the same time too, that as the Lord said, you know, to Philip, he who sees me has seen the Father. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I am truly striving to know God, that I'm seeking to cooperate with his grace, that I trust that the Lord would have given me the grace to
mm-hmm.
recognize him, to submit
right.
myself.
That's an interesting
right.
point you make.
That's beautiful.
About the work of grace, because it just seems almost so rare that somebody would believe, you know, with the training that they had at that time, all these guys,
mm-hmm.
and here he is, you know, I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, it's a bit, I mean, you gotta be, but you were saying to, very hard to believe we could say all that, but you said, But grace breaks in with some of the people, even at that time, and they were able to do it. Maybe that would have been me too. I shouldn't just go all that other way. And of course, after the resurrection, then everything's breaking loose.
Mm-hmm. That's
even
right.
To the one that pierced him, right?
That's right.
Water and blood ran out.
Yes.
People were saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God."
That's right. Yeah, and it's so easy for us too to sell someone off or say they're gone. But no, until we take our last breath, there's always room for conversion.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the possibility of conversion, and grace is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, take us for a time into Good Friday. I know we're not saying much about Holy Thursday here because you got a whole day.
That's right. We got a whole show for the show. Yeah, that's right.
So, Good Friday.
Yes, yes. So, you know, generally on the Good Friday morning, we have the Stations of the Cross generally at the parish, or we're going to have it here at our EWTN chapel. And that's just a way to live that. You think, I was struck hearing Pope John Paul II when he wrote his encyclical on the Rosary. I believe it was in that he mentioned that, you know, for Our Lady, her memories were her rosary, you mm-hmm. know, and similar with the way of the cross, we can yeah. just picture her,
yeah.
you know, in the early days after the Lord had ascended into heaven, her just walking down the streets where he had carried the cross, you know, retracing that. And that should ultimately instill contrition for our sins. Of course, for her, she was sinless, but just to increase her love for her mm-hmm. son, and that she was to think of all the early Christians that she inspired and encouraged, pointed them toward her son. So we generally have the Stations of the Cross in the morning. And the highlight really of Good Friday is the service of the Lord's Passion in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's no Mass because that's the day, right, that our Lord, mm-hmm. like every Mass is a representation of Calvary. Calvary is made present on the altar on Good Friday. That's when it actually happens. So like we're taking a step back here. And so we do receive Holy Communion from the previous day at the Holy Thursday Mass. But a big part of the Good Friday, you know, the priest comes in and lies prostrate in silence. We do read the Passion again. Mm-hmm. So again, just to relive our Lord's suffering and death. And a really unique part of Good Friday, of course, is the adoration or the veneration of the cross, which is, it may seem weird for some, like you adore mm-hmm. the cross. Mm-hmm. It's like the cross was consecrated by the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. you know, and that it's historically too, it's fascinating that St. Helena, the mother of Constantine, through her efforts, the real cross, the true cross, was discovered in the 4th century. And that brought a lot of pilgrims. We were talking about mm-hmm. pilgrimages. A lot of Christians wanted to come and reverence the Holy Cross of Christ. And after a while, many Christians wanted to go there, but they couldn't. So in the 7th century, that was more widespread, and then it was becoming more common in churches throughout the world. And so when we come too, we know that we are venerating an icon. It's not the true cross, like again, because every parish has it,
mm-hmm.
but it's reminding us who we are adoring is Christ, whose blood consecrated the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a moment for us to really enter into that.
Yeah.
And you know, another thing too with Good Friday is we think of the gift that our Lord gave us of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a tremendous gift that she is, you know, she guides us along this whole pilgrimage, mm-hmm. and that was from the cross. That's something we also want to recall on Good Friday. You know,
mm-hmm.
the greatest gift of his mother, and she does love us, and we know that the graces that God gives us comes through her. That mm-hmm. she's there for us.
Mm.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Mm. Entering in, entering in to the way of the cross, and it's so. Mm. I try not to look too much at other people, you know, going up because it's their time, but I do peek every now and then. And these people really give themselves to the Lord. You must have it, we got to go to a break, but your perspective, because you're seeing from the front, not that you're looking at everybody, but the devotion of the people seems very genuine to me.
Oh, yes.
And it's beautiful in the Catholic faith that the material world really matters to us. We don't worship it, but God's using it. He became, matter matters. Mm-hmm. God became matter.
That's right.
That's part of the Catholic expression,
mm-hmm.
and people really need to get a hold of that in the church and beyond. We're going to take a break. We're going to hold you over. So there's plenty more to come. Hope that you're entering into the conversation and that we will follow Christ. We'll seek his face and follow his back all the way. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back. We're wrapping up our holy conversation with Father Patrick Mary, and it's holy because we're speaking about the Lord, speaking about Holy Week, and mm-hmm. so I just turn it over to you for the last couple of minutes. You've hit on Good Friday, Palm Sunday.
Yes. So maybe just a little bit about Holy Saturday, the day before we enter into the vigil and the Lord's resurrection. Is Saturday is known as like a very quiet day, right? Mm-hmm. We have the Lord's, his body's in the tomb. And what do we believe as Catholics? What was taking place? Well, there's an interesting line in the Creed, right, that we pray that the Lord descended into hell. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, there's a lot of misunderstandings about that. Did the Lord descend into the hell of the damned, those who are condemned? And no, that's not the faith. But rather, he went to that place, which sometimes is referred to as Sheol or limbo, the place where those, the just of the Old Testament, up until that point, all those who had died, who were holy in friendship with God, they were waiting because the gates of heaven were not opened yet, right? Until our Lord's the one who opened them through his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And so that's the faith is that on Holy Saturday, after our Lord died and was buried, when his body was there, he went to preach to those in prison, right? Mm-hmm. Those who were there, who were waiting this glorious good news, proclaiming your redemption is at hand, right? And just to think, that's a great meditation reflection. Like you have Moses and Abraham and all the saints of the Old Testament who were waiting, right? They had died and they were waiting for to enter eternal joy in heaven. And that there's the Lord himself that, yeah, I have conquered. Mm-hmm. And you get ready for that joy that's awaiting you. Like that's,
That's powerful. And the National Catholic Register had 5 prints by this famous artist. And one of the final print was, you know, the clearing, you know, where Jesus comes, you see these pictures of these, you know, people coming out of their graves and their holy clothes. And it's like, that's the victory. That's why he suffered. That's why he died. And we as a people of God, especially in this Jubilee year of hope, during this Easter, that we would be hopeful for heaven, that we would believe that he has come to conquer sin and death and to save us from our sins. Yes. That's our hope, right?
Yes, yes. And there's a great image with that, too. There's a painting, a famous painting of, it's called The Harrowing of Hell. And it's the same thing that we're talking about. And it's an image of the Lord. And he, like his door is broken open. He's standing on it, and there's a devil under it that he's crushing. And you have all the just there that are waiting
his message. Can't say that yet, but yes.
Father, please close us with a prayer and blessing.
Certainly, certainly. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon us. Please prepare our hearts as we prepare to enter into the Holy Triduum, the most sacred days of the year. Open our hearts to receive all the graces that you desire to give us, to draw us ever closer to you, to conform us more closely to your Son. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Be sure
Father.
To join us tomorrow on Holy Thursday when Father Patrick Mary will speak to us about the Last Supper and Holy Week. You're an important part of this family, the EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.